Hey, Anton.
Yeah, Margaret?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
How much we learn about both Simon and August's characters during their first interaction. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
Margaret, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be continuing our plot discussion of Season 1, Episode 1, focusing on all other relationships that are not Simon and Wilhelm.
Woohoo! In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back 4 episodes in our feed to our most recent This Week at Hilerska for a full breakdown. That will be slightly changed due to the fact that this episode was a two-parter. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You have been warned.
Okay. So we're starting with talking about August and Simon.
Yes.
I'm thinking specifically that interaction they have when they're walking outside and August is having, or is asking Simon about getting booze for the party.
Yeah. Their like first interaction, which, to be fair, we've talked about that a lot.
We have.
Or, like, pretty extensively in past episodes. But in terms of speaking to the relationship between these two people.
Yes.
And not about pulling it away from, like, the acting choices by Malta and Omar and more, or like, the way it's shot. We're looking more at the ways in which we can understand how these two characters relate to each other in that scene. And kind of what we think they think of each other, which we've sort of talked about, but let's like concisely say it here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, what are your thoughts on that dynamic?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear how low August thinks of Simon. You know, like not knowing his name after being there for a month, like after Simon's been there for a month.
Yeah.
Calling him the socialist boy as an insult.
Right. Which I want to talk about both of those things because I wrote down Simon as someone August can use, a convenience and a pawn.
Yes.
And then should we unpack the rich text of quote unquote socialist guy?
Please.
It's fascinating to me. And it's something that one of the best reasons for me that this podcast exists is that it allows me to put the full force of my English major to use little tiny moments, because like I think the depths of this will be revealed more over time, because it's a name that is used like twice in this episode, but like looking forward vaguely, it's not really brought up tons after this. It's definitely meant to be like kind of an established thing of Simon, but it's not something that it's not as common of a nickname as this episode will lead you to believe. But the fact that the people who use it, being, I believe, like, either Vincent or Nils, and then August. And then I would imagine Henry would probably use it. We just don't see him use it. And Walter, too. But I think we talked about this last time about in regards to Simon's relationship to like all of the boarders who aren't Wilhelm, but he has identified himself as a leftist in what is undoubtedly and unquestionably a highly conservative space.
Yes.
And specifically like economically leftist among people who legitimately still own land and are part of the aristocracy.
Absolutely.
Which is not something that, as Americans, we really have that much personal experience with.
Right.
But just, like, literally imagining the history of that land ownership.
Yeah, like, in America, familial wealth is obviously a thing, but there it's like, no, like these people were aristocrats.
Yes. And like, it's in the South especially, like American aristocracy kind of lasted for a bit longer. But those were the same people who fought to keep their slaves. Like, in a socialist, like, slash, like, more, like, I guess this is maybe a little bit more a communist framework, but, like, socialist framework, like, the aristocrats literally own the means of production.
Yeah.
Like, or at least did at one time. Like, you lived on an aristocrat's land, and everything you produced went to that aristocrat's wealth. Mm-hmm. Or at least you had to, like, pay taxes to that aristocrat, and then they would, like, pay tribute or, like, give or, like, provide the army for the crown. Like, a little bit of a quick history lesson that we'll probably get more into in the nitty-gritty of our episode about the royal family and about the aristocracy and the rich. But the fact that this person is coming in here and being like, actually, welfare isn't a scam, and actually it makes sense to, like, maybe redistribute this wealth, and, like, maybe the market isn't the most, like, ethically conscious thing, and, like, maybe it should have, like, some checks on it so that you don't just get business people and capitalists, like, running wild on it. Like, we don't need to maybe get too deep into politics in this episode in particular, in this one relationship. But, like, considering August as an aristocrat, the fact that he identifies Simon, does not know his name, if he ever learned it in the first place. At least doesn't remember it if he learned it in the first place. And if he doesn't, then his identifiable feature is that he is the socialist guy. Simon is a pariah, but we really see that the most in the way that August treats him.
Yeah. 100%.
And we'll probably talk about more about that, kind of the implications of that later, but in terms of, like, I wanted to talk about what that nickname means, because I'm like, we hadn't really addressed what it's all of its ramifications are.
And they call him the socialist guy, but they don't even use that word correctly, because what Simon is saying isn't socialism, because true socialism isn't, like, true socialism and what Simon is saying are two very different things.
Yeah, they use socialism in the way that a lot of conservatives around the country, including in America, use it, which it's is like in the fear. Context of. Yeah, any sort of social safety net is socialism.
Right.
Because it takes away from what in America we call the idea of rugged individualism, mm-hmm. which is the, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like, everyone else, like, everyone deserves the wealth they have.
Right. Which pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is impossible.
Yeah. Just
put that out there.
Yeah, like, we're talking about anything that evens the playing field between the rich and the poor, and the rich do not want that, one, to maintain their privilege and power, but the mythology they tell themselves is that they need to do this because they earned their wealth, and the rich are just getting it handed to them on a silver, the poor are getting it handed to them on a silver platter.
Right.
They're not working for it like we did. Exactly. Which is rich coming from literal aristocrats who are born into unfathomable wealth and privilege.
Literally, like, generational wealth and privilege. They don't have to do jack shit for it.
No. Like, they're going to probably, like, a lot of aristocrats seem to also own, also be, like, business CEOs.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of get that a little, they don't really necessarily get that impression in this one. Although we do, with Henry.
Yeah, I think we kind of do when Henry talks about his dad's business.
Yeah.
In that class.
Yeah, and, like, the way like, jobs are being, like, shipped overseas or whatever. Which, we don't need to totally unpack that, because I don't really know the full economic situation of Sweden, but, like,
I don't either.
It still involves a situation where like, the poor are being vilified by these rich children who know nothing better. And mm-hmm. And I was about to call him Omar. Sorry. Simon, who has a much, like, who has an intimate idea of, I don't think the Eriksons are necessarily are below the poverty line, but they're not wealthy.
Right.
Like, he understands what welfare actually is and means for the people who receive it. And these kids only know it in the abstract and the way their parents have talked about it.
Yeah, and I don't know the situation in Sweden, obviously, and I would assume it's probably better than the United States, because it seems like most European countries are set up better than the United States, at least in this manner. But it's really fucking difficult to get welfare or food stamps or disability or any of those types of things. Like, it's a long process. It's not just like, I'm lazy, I don't want to work. Like, that's not what it is.
Yeah. Right. And I think Sweden does have a more of an established social safety net. Right. That's part of why conservatives in America are so scared of it. And be like, I've in the past had relatives who are more conservative be like, do you want to end up like Sweden? As though it's like the worst thing in the world. And
I actually
like,
would.
Okay. Generals does prove that Sweden still has its issues. Like, there are conservatives everywhere.
Everywhere has issues, though.
Exactly. But if anything, like, because it is more of a because those sort of policies are more of a reality in Sweden, like, there is even more of a robust conservative, like, mainstream conservative backlash against it in some ways. Where, because it is a more tangible reality, well, because it's more a tangible reality, you can't be outright against it on a policy level, like, for, like, the total abolishing of a social safety net, because it's an established enough, like, norm, I think, from my understanding. But you can still think that the people on it are lazy and they didn't deserve it, and you can still vilify them. That just won't manifest into policy in the same level it has in the United States.
This is totally only slightly related, but for whatever reason, I was looking up their political parties, and it was like their version of the right wing. So I was like, oh, what are their beliefs? It was our Democrats. Was their right wing. Then I was like, I need to fucking move.
I've heard of that. I need to get
my passport.
I mean, I was told by a history major my freshman year, he's like, hey, did you know that, like, the political parties in America skew substantially righter than, like, on, like, the world scale? And I was like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, but moderate in America is, like, right.
Is medium right in
most
European countries. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most anywhere else. Yeah. But this is not a podcast about America, but you're right.
Or politics.
You're
right.
I would hope that we have listeners from outside America. That would be cool. But, like,
that would be really dope.
That'd be really dope.
Go comment on our Instagram post if you don't live in America. That'd be really sick.
Yeah. God, look at us garnering engagement. But I want to talk about a little bit from Simon's perspective, because we talk about August's perspective, what this interaction is. Like, I know I've said before, I'm pretty sure you've said it before, like, August is, like, the archetypal, like, symbol of everything that Simon hates about this school. And it's a great introduction of character, which we've talked about, but I think what is established in that conversation, the only conversation they actually have in this entire episode, which is part of why, a little bit behind the scenes, we forgot to talk about this relationship last episode.
Yeah, we did. It was like 2 days later, we were like, shit.
Yeah, calling us out, but, like, holding ourselves accountable.
There we go.
But that's why we're starting with them on the top of this part too. It's really a question of understanding Simon in this scene and the way in which he is relating to the rich boyiest of rich boys. But beyond that, I do want to make sure we talk about the reverse again. That not only is Simon representative... Not only is August representative of everything Simon hates, Simon is representative of everything August is afraid of.
Yes.
And not just August, like everyone. But like August is our way into this ideology and mentality.
Yes.
And like, I want to note, because we haven't really yet, the look on August's face when he sees Simon and Wilhelm talking for the first time at lunch.
Yeah.
He's worried. He's concerned.
Very uncomfortable.
He is uncomfortable. Like, he sees that and he's like, this cannot be.
Mm-hmm. That's like, why he rescues him from the situation. There were air quotes for everybody who couldn't see that.
Yes. Like, he told Eric he would protect Wilhelm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how he's doing it.
Yeah, his version of protecting is keeping him away from Simon.
And we can see an extension of that in the way he describes Wilhelm's previous life at the party. He's, like, interacting with the right people. Like, associating with people in your own class.
That theme of being around the right people has come up a few times in this episode. I think his mother said it.
Yeah.
Along with, like, it'll give you the right habits, you'll be surrounded by the right people. And then August says it.
Yeah. And, like, I want to believe that, again, we've talked about before, August isn't that much of a long-term planner.
No. He has no forward
thinking. That is an understatement. But, like, I do think in that moment, I'm realizing, like, he had to have been thinking of that lunchtime interaction when he was talking to Wilhelm about why his previous life didn't work out.
Yeah.
On some level, I think he has to be thinking, like, you're trying to talk to someone who maybe reminds you of your old life
mm-hmm.
when you were at public school. But here is why I think that was bullshit. and, like, we talked about last time, well, not last time, like, a few episodes ago, that, like, that was totally the wrong tactic to take.
Yeah.
Like, he almost had Wilhelm with didn't want to give you special treatment. And then he's like, now you're around all the special people.
Yeah, now you can be around all these rich people.
Yeah.
And nothing bad will happen to you if you're around all these rich people.
Yes. But, like, speaking to August and Simon, you get in the situation where August perceives Simon as a means to an end to get the booze he wants.
Yes.
But hang on. Yeah, you're good, yeah.
The way that August sees Simon is the same way we were talking about Felice seeing Sarah in the last episode.
Yeah.
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 I'm just putting it out there, okay?
No, yeah, in what ways to describe for our listeners?
Like, what?
How are the way they see
Oh, yeah. So similar. When we were talking last episode, it was one of the first ones we did.
Or somewhere
in there. The way that Felice was treating Sarah as we were the help.
Yeah, the help, know, a like, servant. Yeah.
Yeah. In the horse arena. And now, and that was very like transactional and hostile. And so now we have August, who, if Felice is the most popular and wealthy female student, August would likely be the most popular and wealthy male student.
Yeah.
At least until Wilhelm comes. Because it's kind of hard to one-up the prince.
Exactly. And so you get into the situation where I think it's subtly different, I think, based on the fact that, like, Sarah actually does have a job where she is in service of Felice.
Felice has the capacity to feel remorse for things that she's done.
But I think it's interesting. We see how August, we've barely touched on it, but, like, the way that August, we see these little glimpses of how he treats Alexander in this in the beginning of this episode.
Yes.
And I'm like, if you think of how he treats the son of a CEO that way, like, now imagine how he thinks of Wilhelm interacting with a nobody.
Yes. Yeah, I think that interaction he has with Alexander right at the beginning, right when Wilhelm and Eric come, is very interesting because Alexander is not a scholarship student. He's a boarder. Like, for all intents and purposes, you wouldn't expect that interaction. Because August seems to really only care about people who have money on land.
Yeah. To that end, let's get more into August and explore
him. Let's do it.
August and his friends.
Yes.
Specifically, Nils and Vincent, because they're the ones we get names for. And they're the ones he hangs out with the most. The way I worded them in my notes is pals, but not necessarily close, mm-hmm. August's lackeys.
Yeah.
August is clearly the one in control.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You ever watch the movie Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
You know Regina George and, like, her three?
Yeah. Yeah.
That relationship that they had where, like, they secretly kind of hate each other, but they, like, it's beneficial to them all to be, like, joined together.
Yeah. Katie Heron was talking about girl world. This is rich boy world.
Yeah. It is.
And speaking to, like, rich boy world, I just want to, like, kind of speak to the way I read this dynamic just based on acting alone and also kind of informed by later episodes, but, like, let's not worry about that for a second. I think there are things unspoken in this friend group that are just never really talked about. Mm-hmm. They just don't talk openly about the deep shit.
Oh, 100%, not a chance.
Which, to be fair, from my minimal understanding of how male-male friendships work, that's how a lot of them go. but, like, regardless...
I mean, yeah, you got the hegemonic masculinity, and you, like, you can't talk about your feelings.
Yeah, like, regardless, I feel like... I literally wrote, emotionally constipated rich boys. Am I wrong? Like,
I cannot sit here and tell you that you're wrong, because you're so fucking right.
They're so emotionally constipated. Why do you think August has such, is trying to, like, have such bravado with his sexuality? They can't talk about their feelings at all.
They can't talk about their feelings, so they're all just emotionally frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need women to talk to and handle their feelings for them.
Yeah. I don't know how much talking they're doing, but...
Well, yeah. But, well, they need, well, basically they need some sort of emotional release, and that probably isn't actually through talking.
Yeah. Emotional exodus.
I don't know. Yeah. Do you have any more?
I have to keep going with your analogy.
Do you have any more thoughts on August and his boys, or do we want to move on?
I think. Well, first of all, none of them think very far ahead, you know, because they have that interaction in the church where it's like, you seriously didn't think
there was going to be a security was going to confiscate, like, be searching rooms and confiscate alcohol before the prince arrives.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like if I had illegal substances and I knew the prince was coming, I might hide it in a floorboard or something, you know?
Yeah, but I think it shows how much, as a little snapshot of, at least before Wilhelm arrives, how much these boys have been able to get away with.
Oh, yeah. They rule the school.
Yeah.
Like, fully.
Like, I mean, Eric tells Wilhelm, like, do what the other first years do and do what the third years tell you.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy for sure, and we see that in that response with Eric.
Yeah. It's a line I don't think about a lot, but I think does reflect later episodes really well. In terms of understanding that, like, third years are above second years or above first years. Mm-hmm. And you just conform and obey.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's all you can do.
And it should be that easy, and that is what is expected.
And that's what breaks Wilhelm. But we're not talking about Wilhelm right now.
Yeah, but we can. although, actually, no, wait. We have to talk about August and Eric.
Yeah, we gotta talk about August. Oh, fuck. hate August. I can't wait for
all the homies hate August.
If you don't hate August, I can't be your homie. I'll say it. I'm not afraid.
Mark is putting their line in the sand right now.
Yeah, that might be a hot take.
Okay. I think I referenced this, or at least I referenced that I was going to talk about it last episode.
Mm-hmm. Valid.
But like, Eric and August, I wrote down, describe their relationship, ex-school chums. But like, given their ages, I would probably say that August was the first year when Eric was a third year. I think that's pretty evident.
Yeah.
From their dynamic, and I think from various dialogue that confirms it. But I'm pretty sure that's the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I see it as a like mentor-mentee relationship.
Oh yeah.
Where like, I don't know, if you're at all familiar with fraternity or sorority culture, I feel like, yeah. I don't think the school does this, but anything like this, but like Eric was August's big.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'd agree with that for sure.
Yeah, he was like the one, he's like he's like their second cousins. He's a first year and Eric was a third year on top of the world, like took August under his wing. And in a sense, that's kind of what August is trying to do with Wilhelm to kind of pay it forward.
Yeah, and I think he's probably, we don't know this because we never get a flashback. I feel like I keep saying that. I sound like a broken record. But I wouldn't be surprised if August is trying to do what Eric did for him in the exact same way that Eric did it for him, but like not really putting it together that Wilhelm is his own person.
Yeah. And kind of, I think first year August was grateful for all the things that are making Wilhelm uncomfortable.
Yes.
But like regardless, because of that relationship, that mentor-mentee relationship, August clearly thinks very highly of Eric's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, but possibly more as an extension of his hard-on for the royal family.
God, he's got such a hard-on for the royal family.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm like, this isn't even healthy.
Yeah. See a doctor. And so, like, I can't tell from his dialogue whether or not it's, like, Eric's opinion specifically or the crown prince's opinion. Like, oh. I think they're kind of one and the same. But, like...
Yeah.
Would it be, like, if it was, like, if he had any other mentor who wasn't the crown prince...
Right.
Would he be as...
No.
...dutiful to them as the crown prince? I don't think so.
No. Because he says in that church scene, he's like... Like, who are we going to be the future... This is paraphrasing. Who are we going to be the future king? The one who, like, threw his brother a sick party, or the one who couldn't even toast him? Yeah. And... He wouldn't have done that if it was just, like, some dude.
No. No, but I think, just as a thought exercise, I think it's fun to think about what third-year Eric was like with first-year August. We talked about last time, or the time before that, that, like, I think with, yeah, when we were talking about August and Felice, we were, like, wondering, like, is the Eric that August is talking about... In their little like church interactions before the choir comes, like, I think he sounds like he's speaking to first year August to me.
Yeah, because they probably haven't seen each other much since then.
Yeah, like at least not enough for like Eric to fully have an idea of like who August has become.
Right.
Like they seem
still
like
a garbage human being.
They seem like close-ish, but I think first year August. I can see Eric kind of getting him out of, like, a couple of romantic scrapes here and there.
Yeah.
Consoling maybe a little bit of a broken heart, or, like, or just kind of, like, or, like, making sure that he doesn't go too overboard on sleeping around.
Sorting out a pregnancy scare here and there if it happened.
Oh.
I'm not saying it happened, but I'm saying if it did happen, yeah. I feel like Eric would have helped him out.
Yeah. One thing I will say about Sweden is I feel like they probably have pretty good contraception, socially.
Oh, yeah, probably. Definitely better than America.
Yeah. No, but I think the last thing to talk about is just that, like, August promises Eric to look after Wilhelm. And so, to some extent, the relationship between August and Eric is kind of following both Wilhelm and August throughout the show from this point, from that point on.
Yeah.
Of being like, on some level, August can it always justify his actions that it towards like bringing Wilhelm into the fold as like fulfilling his promise to Eric.
Yes. I fully agree with you.
All right. But now, the last time we have to talk about August this episode.
Thank
August and Wilhelm.
Yes. Wilhelm is uncomfortable by the energy that August has created in the studio today.
Oh, that's an understatement. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was like, Wilhelm doesn't like...
He seems like physically pained.
Yeah. I was like, Wilhelm doesn't like him.
No.
Eric says he's trustworthy, though.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that carries Wilhelm through this episode. I think by the end, he is still... He briefly is like, maybe August is okay. And then by the end, he again doesn't like him. But, like,
right.
He is willing to give him more chances than I think Wilhelm otherwise would if Eric didn't say to trust August.
Right. Because, what was it, like 5 minutes in? When him and Eric are in his dorm room. And it's like, I can't do this for 3 years. And then he's like... August is so annoying, and he's like already sick of him. He's already done with August, and he's been there.
Yeah,
for
he's like, and that's when we reveal that he's their second cousin, or no, I think it's reiterated, being like, but he's family, like, and you have responsibilities and all that, and like, and August will help guide you into like how to make it in this new environment. And so, but I just like, can we talk briefly about at the initiation party, Wilhelm's 180 from, hey, maybe this guy gets it. Just fear in his eyes when August is just like, you can murder someone.
Yeah.
And no one would say a thing.
The fear. He was like, this boy's got some actual skeletons in his closet.
It was that little moment of being like, heavy, like, you must be joking.
Like you,
and then it's like, no, you're not joking.
Yeah. The like, oh, certainly, you know, this can't be true. And then August smiles, but he believes it.
Yeah. And it's like, the crazy thing is, August wants Wilhelm to like him at any cost. And he believes he's doing what he promised Eric he would. And
dude, he thinks
himself.
He ate.
Like, he thinks he is protecting Wilhelm from the consequences of hanging out with the wrong people. We've talked about this in, like, how August relates to Simon. But, like, in terms of how he relates to Wilhelm, like, it is a protective thing.
Yeah, he's, like, trying to be his older brother.
Yeah. He's like, I am Eric when Eric isn't here.
Yeah.
I am doing what I believe and know that Eric would want for you.
And I think he has a skewed image of Eric. We don't get a lot of Eric content, but I think he's got a skewed image of Eric.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this briefly before. If not, breaking news. The scene, because it might have been off mic. But the scene where I think we get the first glimpse of who Eric actually is outside of his crown prince persona is run on three.
Yes.
When they're taking pictures and he just gets him and Wilhelm to run away from the photographers. That is a blatantly older brother thing to do, but not a crown prince thing to do.
Right. It's an older brother thing to do, and it's an older brother thing to do who understands his little brother.
Yeah, who understands his little brother, understands how uncomfortable he is, understands this life better than anyone else.
Yeah.
And understands Wilhelm better than anyone else and what this life is doing, what this life does to him.
Yeah.
And this little moment of, like, giving Wilhelm some relief from the pressure of the camera that Wilhelm has been, like, writhing under. The entire show to this point.
Yes. And I think it's very likely, and we'll talk about this more in the Royal Family episode, I'm sure, but it's very likely that Eric is the only person who looks out for Wilhelm, looks out for his well-being. I mean, his parents, They're the king consort and queen, obviously. And their interaction, they have one, and it's very transactional. It's a lecture.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll, we will, since we're basically already doing it, we'll, I will just say for our listeners, I think we're formally transitioning into talking about Wilhelm and Eric's relationship. that was just kind of very organic, but I just wanted to call out that we're not talking about Eric and August anymore.
Yeah, no, fuck August. We're done with him.
At least until that, until later episodes.
Teaser.
All right. I think in this episode, we can see how much Wilhelm looks up to Eric. He trusts Eric implicitly. Yeah. Anything he says, Wilhelm takes to heart and doesn't really question. I think he, in many ways, he aspires to be Eric despite knowing he never will be him.
Yeah, I think Eric has been made into the poster child of the royal family's heirs.
But at the same time, though, I think Eric is just uniquely qualified. I mean, yes, he's been trained from birth. Like he is known that he was crown prince from birth, and like has been trained a lot more for it for Wilhelm. But I think just who he is as a person.
Yeah.
He's kind of like just ideally suited for the role. He's a charming, I will say, very good looking guy who is extroverted, or at least is really good at faking it. And like just the supreme diplomat.
Yes.
Can do small talk for days.
Yeah.
Remembers everyone's name. Mm-hmm. Shakes everyone's hand, makes them feel special.
Yes.
Makes them feel like they're being remembered, and like that they're warmly remembered, regardless of how he maybe even feels about some of these teachers who he had, who maybe gave him a bad grade occasionally. Like
can you imagine giving the crown prince a bad grade?
Like,
I feel like, is this treason?
But like Eric is, like, not to overstate it, but like he is the perfect crown prince. Like he is the perfect prince. He is everything that, like, Wilhelm and Eric's parents wished that Wilhelm also was.
Yep.
Which I'm also like, why would you want your sons to be the exact same person? I don't know. I don't get it.
That sounds boring to me, but whatever.
It sounds really boring, and it, like, you already got the son that you need. So why does what Wilhelm does, like, okay, what Wilhelm does reflects on the family. Like Eric says that. Like, so like, I won't exaggerate too much and say that they want Wilhelm to be exactly like Eric. But they want Wilhelm to be more like Eric, at the very least. They want him to not create scandal.
Yeah. They're trying real hard to push him into the Eric box.
Yes.
But there's already somebody in that box.
Yeah. Which, like, yeah, it's like, but it's literally, like, it's cliche at this point, but it's like, why can't you be like your older brother? Like, it's unspoken.
Yeah.
Throughout all of their interactions, especially once we understand who Eric is as a person, you're like, this is who Wilhelm's parents want him to be. And it's exactly who he is not.
Yeah. And I think that crushing, that, like, pressure is, I mean, it's very clearly I almost said August. Wilhelm is fighting against that mold that his parents are trying to put him in as much as he can. And Eric is quite potentially the only person that knows that and accepts that about him.
Yeah.
And is like, no, like, I'm going to try to make this easier for you. I know this is our life. There's only so much, you know, we can run away from the photographer, but eventually they're going to get the picture. But you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. And we don't know, to be fair and honest, we don't know how much of Wilhelm's perception of Eric is Wilhelm's perception of Eric and not who Eric actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think through Wilhelm's eyes, which we're in for a lot of the episode, especially in all the scenes with Eric, we are through Wilhelm's eyes. Like, he sees Eric at ease in front of the camera and in the public eye in a way that we immediately establish that Wilhelm is not.
Yes.
And, like, Eric just makes it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess since we're already talking about them, we don't want to, because as we've alluded to multiple times, we have an episode about the royal family specifically, but is there anything you want to quick speak about the king and queen's relationship with Wilhelm?
I don't think anything I haven't already said when referencing other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of said it when comparing
right.
Eric and the rest of his parents.
Yeah. To distinguish them, I will say that I imagine that the king might have a slightly better relationship with Wilhelm than the queen does.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Just to kind of distinguish, like I said, just to differentiate between them. But I am going to peg King Consort Ludwig right now as an enabler.
Of his wife?
Of his wife.
Yeah, and I'd agree with you.
From that, we can move on and talk about that later. But I will at least just, like, footnote that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I agree with you.
Wilhelm and the other first years, similar to how we did with Simon, like, Wilhelm's relationship to, like, Henry and Walter, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to repeat ourselves too much.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone at this school... Literally everyone, except for Simon and, like, kind of Sarah, although Sarah is honestly bordering on neutral on this at this point. Like, yeah. They are, for lack of a better term, that is less severe. Like, they're sycophants. They are sheep of the royal family.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm a STEM major. I'm going to need you to break that word down
for
good.
Me. You're good, yeah. Sycophants are basically people who will do whatever a person in power says.
Oh, okay.
A person they respect says. Like they're characterized usually by being like, oh yes, whatever you say. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And so, like, that's exactly what is happening with Henry and Walter.
Yeah.
Where the truth lives and dies by what the royal family says.
100%. At least for these people's worldview.
Yeah. But I do want to again repeat, because I think I kind of had this revelation on an episode, but I love it so much. This cannot be the first time that Wilhelm has tested the value of someone's friendship by casually saying a statement he doesn't actually believe.
Yeah.
Which is, it's honestly so smart. It's honestly very smart. It's honestly the moment that I think the amount of emotional intelligence that Wilhelm has been able to gain, I think that's the moment when it shines the most.
Yes, I would agree with you there. Yeah. I know this isn't what the analogy of glass ceilinging is used for. I know that. I know it's mm-hmm. meant for, like, employment and yeah. other things like that, okay? But I'm going to use it here because I think it works. There's, like, this barrier between the incredibly wealthy student body and Wilhelm. And that's purely based on a title that he has, yeah. not anything that he has really done, not any, yeah. like, just the family he's born into. There's yeah. this barrier.
And there are moments when August is behind that barrier with Wilhelm.
Yes.
Because, like, he is technically part of the royal family.
He is.
And so, like, I think that's part of how he has been able to garner so much status at this school.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm their second cousin.
Like, granted, this is kind of a fast thing that we, like, don't really talk about much ever, but, like, he is prefect, which means he's, like, of Forest Ridge, which means, like, he's mm-hmm. in charge of all of them, basically.
Yeah.
Of everyone in the house that Wilhelm gets initiated in. But, like, yeah, I would definitely agree. Like, because there is that aspect of people are looking in. Like, the idea of a glass ceiling, the reason why that metaphor is used is that it's like you can see what is above you, but you can't reach it.
Right.
And, like, there is no amount of – and, like, the only thing, only recourse you have is what Felice is trying to do, which is marry into the royal family.
Yes.
That is the only way through.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were born into them.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I would definitely agree. Like, it is a relationship where Wilhelm is not only being gawked at by the press, but we see in the church scene, he's being gawked at by everyone else.
Because and it's everyone else that, yeah, it's everybody else that are supposed to be his peers. Like, yeah. He's said, like, these are the people who are like you. These are your peers.
But no one is like him. No one is like him.
No.
August is kind of close.
Is Eric.
Exactly. Eric is the only one. August is close, but he's not there. And we can see that from the way that August desperately wants Wilhelm to like him. Like, even the person who is supposed to be his equal, supposed to be his mentor, who Wilhelm is supposed to respect, is just, like, so eager to get Wilhelm on his side.
He's got a hard-on for the title.
Yes. And I will side note to get us away from August, because we said we weren't going to talk about him. The little test that we were talking about.
Yes, sorry. Yes, let's go back to that.
Wilhelm doesn't have to do that with Simon, a little side note, because Simon's, like, antipathy, like, just not caring, like, bordering on, like, disrespect for Villa's title was so obvious that Villa didn't have to even like, because Villa doesn't actually with Henry and Walter, I feel like he's doing that test consciously, and he kind of does that test, but it's entirely unintentional with Simon, because he says something he genuinely does believe is true, or, like, asks a question he actually is wondering, and he's not deliberately being dense. Like, he's not saying something he doesn't believe or is wondering about. He's, like, genuinely earnest with Simon in their interaction in a way that he hasn't been with anybody else.
Yep. Yeah.
Which, like, I feel like that is really something to characterize Wilhelm's interactions with Simon this episode, is that he's the only one who, besides Eric, who Wilhelm is anything approaching, not honest necessarily, because he does lie when he says that he likes it here, but like, he's earnest emotionally.
Yes. He doesn't have that, like, disconnect.
Yes, because even while lying, he is not doing a very good job.
No.
I mean, he's not a good liar. He's not a good liar in general, and he's also drunk. But, like, it's this question of, like, would the babbling that he's doing, even with how drunk he is, about Simon's performance on It Takes Fool to Remain Sane, would he be doing that with anybody else?
No.
Yeah.
And how did we get back to Simon and Wilhelm and this not Simon and Wilhelm episode?
Yes, this is a little, this is the specifically the episode that isn't about them, but I needed to have that little moment of contrast where, like, how Wilhelm treats everyone else and how Simon treats, and how he treats Simon. Okay, but also I realized a little detour that we have to take.
Yeah, let's take it.
Is Henry and Walter relationship with each other? They're friends, but I want to acknowledge that these boys have a mini fandom all their own.
They do.
I've never paid close attention to them at all.
No, I love them. I love them so much.
But, like, given the nature of this podcast, I guess I'm signing up to analyze them closely too.
Yes. Do it.
I get legit, like, nothing more than, like, their friends who agree on stuff because they're both rich in this episode. But they also both give, like, that they will both be himbos later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Except they're not nice.
No, they're not.
But, like, they have the dumb, and at least, I mean, this is kind of shade, but this is kind of shady, but I find Henry far more attractive than Walter. So, like, no shade to the actors. My God, like, this is entirely subjective. But, like, I feel like Henry gives more himbo to me simply because I find him more attractive. But that's neither here nor there. Like, I think as of right now, like, they're not athletic enough or like old enough to really fully give himbo energy, but like they definitely have like the bumbling nature of himbos down already. And like they're kind of well, they're almost well intentioned except for like when they're interacting with poor people.
Yeah, this is the best bit we've ever had on this podcast. Henry being a himbo. No, I would agree with you. They've got himbo precursors for sure.
Yes. The early signs of himbo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've got early symptoms. The test hasn't come back positive yet, though.
Yeah. Whoa, I think all we have left... Oh, okay. Another quick detour, like backtracking, that I realized we missed. The king and queen's relationship with Eric, we barely see it in this episode, and we can definitely talk about it way more in the Broil Family episode. But, like, I would think it's safe to say that Eric was groomed.
Oh, yeah. I think...
You talked about... Like, that's kind of being redundant at this point, but, like, I just wanted to say that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that it's safe to say... Both of them were groomed.
Yeah.
But Eric more so because he is supposed to have become the king.
Yes. I mean, the fact that Eric went to Halerska and they weren't planning on sending Wilhelm there tells you everything you need to know.
Absolutely.
About the level of attention they were paying to who Eric became versus who Wilhelm became. And they're realizing that maybe they should have been paying more attention to Wilhelm. Because Wilhelm is fucking up. But to end the episode with another relationship we hashtag forgot about. I don't know why I said hashtag. Wilhelm and Felice.
Wilhelm and Felice. So I don't think they actually interact in...
They wave. He waves at her.
Besides the wave, though, I don't think they talk.
No, not in this episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
at least they're not shown to talk. Yeah.
Yeah. And they went to kindergarten together. That was it, right?
Preschool.
Which, like, how fucking expensive was that preschool? You know what I'm saying?
With one of the richest families in America and then the royal family.
Well, not America. Sweden.
Sorry. My God, Sweden.
I got you. Talking.
God. Americans thinking we're the center of everything. But, okay. From that, I want a question.
Mm-hmm.
How have they seen each other much before then? Or, like, since then?
That's since a preschool? Good point, because I don't remember who I went to preschool with.
I think so, like, I vaguely recognize faces.
Right?
And, like, he follows her on Instagram.
So,
and he, like, comments heart eyes.
Yeah. And if, you know, if Felice is the wealthiest, is from the wealthiest family in
He's familiar Sweden. With them. And, like, knowing how rich people assort with only other rich people.
Yeah. They must run in the same circle, right?
He would have seen her around.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think they're as close as, like, say, if they were childhood best friends who stayed in touch would be.
I think they would have actually talked in the first episode if they were supposed to be childhood best friends.
Yeah. Like, he comments on her social media, but, like, a lot of people seem to follow Felice on social media. Like, I think you're stupid in if you don't follow Felice on social media. If you're in this circle.
I'm pretty sure those Instagram accounts, sidetrack, those are real. No, like, hang on. I'm, like, positive. This might have to get cut out of the episode, because if I'm wrong, this is going to be embarrassing.
Okay, I noticed for the first time when we were doing the summary episode, Wilhelm's handle is literally just Wilhelm. Like, at Wilhelm.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. Like, he got at Wilhelm. Like, my God.
That's Prince really privilege. Sick. I'm going to be honest.
I know.
Hey, Edvin posted on Instagram, but it's... I don't... And then Quaffy. Anyways, I got distracted. Yeah. I often get distracted by Edwin. Okay. What was I doing?
Looking for the real examples. Yeah. Look up at Wilhelm. That's the one I'm most curious if it exists.
Okay.
Although I do feel like for stuff like this, like, I think Instagram has a way of, like, having you, like, make a, like, private account or, like, a fake account. Oh. Wow. Dedication.
It's got 2 posts and 12 followers. I bet you they're all the cast.
Yeah.
But this might be creepy.
I mean, we're this is research.
Oh, wait, but they're private accounts. They wouldn't show up like that.
Yeah, I don't think you can search private accounts and followers.
Okay.
All right, well, I at least want to...
This was a really good bit. I'm glad we did this.
Yes. It's at least cool. I at least I'm glad I got to bring up the fact that Wilhelm's handle is at Wilhelm. I don't know if I mentioned that in the summary episode. I might have, but I know I mentioned that he posted on her Instagram because I wanted that to be part of the summary episode, but I don't remember if I mentioned the detail of it. His handle is literally being at Wilhelm. But I will say, based on that comment, I would say that their relationship is pretty superficial. Wilhelm and Felice.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot who we were talking about already. Yes, I would agree.
You're good. Yeah. Like, they're literally, they're family friends in, like, the basest definition of that word. Like, the most basic version of that, like, relationship. Like, they're, like, their families... They're friends whose, like, families know each other, and are run in the same circles, which I think makes that, because part of the reason why I have to think that is it, because it makes the small detail of Felice being obsessed with Wilhelm make more sense. / being obsessed with the status he represents, as we've mentioned before. I would hope that you wouldn't be lusting after your, like, childhood best, your childhood friend in that same way, necessarily.
Yeah. At least not the way that she's doing it in the first episode.
Yeah. In, like, a complete objectification of, like, everything he represents and what everything he can get her.
Yeah, not him as a person, but him as a status figure.
Yeah, not him as a person. Like, I don't know how well she knows who he is as a person, like, personality-wise. Right. Like, I think she kind of knows his general temperament, maybe, just from being around him enough. But, like, they don't know each other.
Right.
Which I think is just important to recognize where, just kind of as a temperature check of, like, where they are at this point.
Yeah.
Of like, where we read their relationship as being at. But with that, somehow, we are done with all of the named character relationships.
And we kept this recording to an hour. It's the first time that's happened.
And with all that faffing about, it'll probably be shorter than that. But like I said, I thought this was going to be shorter based on how much we had left. It's longer than I was actually expecting, though, because we spent a long time on August.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that was tragic.
But
all right.
But at the very least, we didn't have to have a part 3 of this.
That's true. I was thinking at one point we were going to have part 3.
So now, I know you're all probably curious about what's coming next.
Margaret, all right, are you ready?
Want to tell them?
I would love to. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode will be a first of a new episode type entitled Character Standing. We'll be celebrating all things Wilhelm in Season 1, Episode 1. And with that, all there's left to say is...
Let's start a revolution, baby!